receive your benefits.
We only get paid if you win your case. There are a number of conditions that can make you eligible for disability benefits, many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Citizens Disability today to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. That's 800-989-1396.
The Florida man accused of killing an Orlando police sergeant about a week and a half ago and killing his pregnant girlfriend last month is now being held without bond following his first court appearance. Markeith Lloyd waiving the right to a public defender today. He also accused police of making things up in a profanity-laced exchange with an Orange County judge. The inaugural ceremony is tomorrow, but the Make America Great Again concert is about to begin in D.C.
Getting ready for the concert at the Lincoln Memorial. It's going to go all day long. It's going to be some local bands playing. And then Donald Trump is expected to address the crowd this afternoon. And then tonight, Toby Keith and Lee Greenwood are going to perform here on the Washington Mall. Alice Stockton Rossini, Washington, D.C.
The Labor Department says weekly jobless claims slid by 15,000 last week to 234 grand. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com.
Some wild weather down south this morning, including some that does damage in Mississippi. Randy Bell reports.
In Copiah County, a barn was destroyed by a possible tornado east of Wesson. A confirmed tornado hit eastern Simpson and western Smith counties this morning. We're still waiting on damage reports from those counties. And forecasters say the rough weather this morning is only the beginning. A more dangerous outbreak of severe storms is expected this weekend.
We're looking at a very unstable environment developing over the weekend, and any storms that develop in that environment could produce some significant severe weather.
Eric Carpenter at the National Weather Service office in Jackson says those storms could start firing up late tomorrow night. Randy Bell in Jackson.
The widow of Pulse nightclub shooter Omar Mateen to stay in California for now after pleading not guilty to federal obstruction charges as well as aiding and abetting. Authorities want to extradite Noor Salman to Florida, but she won't have another detention hearing now until her lawyers approve to practice in California. And when longtime Detroit Tigers catcher Ivan Pudge Rodriguez got a phone call yesterday, there was much celebration.
Hello.
All right, thank you.
The call informing him he's heading to the National Baseball Hall of Fame, as are Jeff Bagwell and Tim Raines. They'll be inducted in Cooperstown at the end of July. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
On today's program, I'll be talking about why I was so sad at news I received last Saturday, why we should all support the new president. I'll have 5 ways to overcome procrastination, 3 time management tricks for small business owners, and 10 ways to protect your business from hacking. It's Thursday, moving day here at the Chamber, January 19th, 2017, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. Taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we do that, a brief check of the weather shows it's currently 47 degrees here in Flemington. Today will be mild with some sunshine throughout the day, a high of 52 and a low of 29. For tomorrow, we'll have rain and drizzle in the evening with a high of 46 and a low of 37. For Saturday, it'll be partly sunny and milder with a high of 54 and a low of 39. And for Sunday, it'll be cloudy with rain and drizzle, a high of 49 degrees and a low of 37. And a current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently down 32.12 to 19,771.75. The NASDAQ is down 3.50 to 5552.11. S&P 500 down 3.63 to 2268.26. Oil is up 38 cents to $54.30 per barrel. And gold is down $11.80 to $1,203.10 an ounce. Facebook viewers, you're up to date. Now you can listen to the rest of the show on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Hi, Josh. Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of Taking Care of Business. And this will be the second-to-last broadcast in these studios. As I mentioned in the preview, this is moving day here at the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. And it appears that I just took a tour through the large house, and it looks like things are moving along there. So hopefully in 2 weeks, we'll be broadcasting out of our new home at the large house, which is just about 2 doors down here on Main Street. And you'll be able to visit that. A whole lot going on over there with everything that's all the renovation, beautiful renovations of a house that's about 120, 130 years old, something like that. And so hopefully you'll have a chance. And what's going to be happening is There's a renovation going on in in phases, where you'll be able to see that first it's the offices of the chamber, and then the Flemington Community Partnership, and then over time the business center, the Unibank Business Center, is going to be brought in, and that's going to be a place where businesses can go to do research and have meetings and things like that. So I'm really excited. I'm hoping that everybody else is too, and that you'll be able to use that to your benefit over the course of the next several years. I think it's going to be great for Flemington, great for Hunterdon County, and hopefully people will use it to its to their best advantage. So sad news last week, and I haven't been there in a while, but it was announced last Saturday that Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey Circus would be shutting down after, I believe, 146 years, citing declining attendance and also the backlash that was received from animal rights groups. And, I was really sad to see it go. As I mentioned, I've gone to the circus I don't know how many times, growing up with class trips in schools and things like that, and it just was part of my psyche, the big pop and part of what got me into announcing is probably watching the ringmaster, you know, do his thing, and it was just great to see the animals and the performers, and I don't like to use the word hero very much, but growing up, one of the guys that I admired very much was Gunther Gebel Williams, who was the longtime animal trainer for the Ringling Brothers Circus, particularly with the lions and the tigers and things like that. And now he has since, you know, passed on, but I remember in like fifth or sixth grade, we took a class trip to Madison Square Garden to see the Ringling Brothers Circus. And, you know, first of all, you're just excited to be getting out of school for the day. And then, but what I remember most was on one of these trips, there was a time when there were aerialists riding over the lion den. And what happened was one of them fell off. So they were riding bicycles across a high wire, and one of them fell off. And I remember he fell probably 20, 25 feet, and then the next thing you know, Gunther Gebel Williams jumped in to the ring, grabbed a bucket of sawdust, and threw it on top of the man who fell because he had a compound fracture in his leg. And basically, he saved the man's life by doing that, because when a lion or a tiger smells blood, then they will they're gonna sense that and basically maul the person in front of a bunch of fifth graders. Gunther Gebel Williams dragged the man out of the cage. Everything was fine. It was explained later what had happened, and then so it was a scary time and yet a good time, to see and to be able to experience that. And, I followed Williams' career throughout the years and haven't been to the circus, took my kids a few times, but definitely this year I'm going to be going back, because it was just a great part of growing up was taking trips to the circus. And so hopefully, there'll be something else to fill our entertainment void. And, for those who support the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, congratulations, you won. But a whole generation of people and generations to come will be missing out on a great source of entertainment. And a lot of people are going to end up losing their jobs as well. Tomorrow, big day in America, the inauguration of the 45th president of the United States, which will be Donald J. Trump. And it's funny how I bring a circus theme to the show and then I start talking about Donald Trump. Not intended, but I think this is something where ever since the election, there has been a lot of discussion back and forth about, Donald Trump is not my president. You've heard people saying things like that. And it's a shame, really, because, yeah, he is. And there's not a damn thing you can do about it at around 12:01 tomorrow afternoon. He will be sworn in as the 45th president. He is then the president of the United States. So if you're saying he's not your president, well, then maybe you don't belong in the United States. Now, I'm not here to pump up Trump or anything like that, but let's get real for a minute. When a man or a woman is sworn in as president, that's your president. You may not like the choice, but that's your president. And keep in mind that we all have to support him. He has to succeed, because if he doesn't succeed, then we all fail. Now, he's going to make mistakes just like every president that has come before him, and hopefully those will be fixable mistakes. They may not be the greatest things at that particular time, but he is your president, because only one person can sit at the Resolute Desk at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. America has spoken. America has voted. It's Donald Trump. So at some point, I'm hoping that all the people who are out there in Facebook land saying he's not my president, I'll never support him, I hope he fails, people taking it to the worst extent and saying they hope he dies, you got to give him a chance. And a unique point about history is that there was one president whose name kept popping up during all of the debates and everything else that everybody kind of held up as if he were the gold standard, and that was Ronald Reagan. And the fact of the matter is, when Ronald Reagan was elected, he wasn't very well liked by many. Wasn't liked by people in Congress. Wasn't liked by the general public, thinking, what's an actor going to do? How does he, what foreign affairs experience does he have? So, and that turned out pretty darn good. So I think we have to give Trump a chance and understand that one man does not run this country. There are 535 people known as senators and congressmen that will enact laws and legislation. This is not a dictatorship. This is not a monarchy. It is the United States of America, and everybody in Washington will have a say in what goes on. It was a ridiculous argument when people during the debates kept saying, you know, do you want Donald Trump to have the nuclear codes? Before it ever gets to Donald Trump, do you know how many people have to make that decision before he says it? Or if he does say it, how many people have to act and react in order to make that happen? So this isn't like he's got a button under his desk and he's just going to start, you know, launching missiles. So let's give him a chance. Let the rancor, you know, calm down just a little bit. Let everybody take a breath, and then let's see what he does. Does he repeal Obamacare? Does he fix the tax code? You know, will he build a wall? What are we going to do about infrastructure? So I think we all have to, at this point, just grin and bear it and say, I get it. And now, you know, this is the president, and not everybody liked Obama, but by the end, everybody seemed to like him. So let's pull together and make this country the best it can be. I won't say make it great again, but let's make it the best it can be under the leadership of this one man. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on Hunter and Chamber Radio on Moving Day, and we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HunterandChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunter and Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunter and Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HunterandChamberRadio.com app today.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. So glad that you could join us. And every day, or every Thursday at this time, we talk about issues that affect your business and maybe your friends' businesses, and hopefully come up with some solutions for them. Had a couple of people call me this week with some great topics surrounding the topic of marketing and how what is the best way to market your business? What is the best way to get the word out? One gentleman said he wanted to grow his business by 10%. And he felt that he admitted right up front that he's not very good at marketing, but wanted to know what some of the best trends in marketing were. And as I mentioned, I think on last week's show, that one of the best trends right now is video marketing. And that's simply having somebody hold up, you know, an iPhone while you speak into it for 30 or 40 seconds. Talk about a new product, a new service, welcome people to your store, showroom, facility, give them a tour of your facility, and then put that content on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and you'll start to see that all of a sudden people are spending more time following you, and then they want to see more. And you can kind of work on your content with a hybrid of both video marketing as well as traditional, you know, text marketing and articles and things like that. So going to be working with him and hopefully come up with a plan that will help him with his marketing tools. And we'll get more into that as the weeks progress and maybe help you as well. But if you ever have any ideas, questions, topics, or concerns that you want me to talk about and do some research on, by all means, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com. Let me know what the problem is, and let me try to research a solution for you so that we can bring it here to taking care of business and hopefully get you back on track with whatever concerns you, whether it's, you know, marketing, sales, employees, hiring, termination, whatever the case may be. Email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, and we will talk about it. So one of the topics that came up over the course of the week was a woman called me, and she said that she is the biggest procrastinator in the world. And I said, well, why do you say that? She goes, well, I've been trying to call you for a year, but I keep putting it off. I said, okay, well, that's a little bit of procrastination. And, you know, procrastination is more than just time management. You know, we've all been there, sitting at our desk, scrolling through Facebook as we avoid the task in front of us. You know, we call it procrastination, and it can take many forms, from frequent coffee breaks to small talk with coworkers. And then all of a sudden, your back's against the wall, deadline's looming, the work has to get done. Procrastination is often chalked up to poor time management, but the source of it actually runs deeper. It delves into our fears, emotions, and mental processes, and once we understand what really causes procrastination, we can find real solutions to help overcome the common roadblock. So here are five ways to avoid the pitfalls of procrastination. The first is to define your goals. Now, when we don't know where we're going, uncertainty can cause us to procrastinate and keep us from taking measurable steps forward. So before starting a task, write down exactly what you plan to accomplish and your reasons for doing so. If you want to learn more things, then maybe you should clarify the how and the why. For example, you might decide to read 12 books about startups to learn more about building a company. Further defining your goals and attaching specific targets reduces uncertainty and allows you to take the next step. You also want to, and I love this one, break your big goals into smaller, measurable milestones. Sometimes the sheer size of a goal can be paralyzing. Instead of viewing a goal as one big milestone, take a cue from elite performers who break the big goals into smaller, less intimidating tasks that will take less time over the course of a day or week or month. Schedule out the small tasks like dominoes and notice how accomplishing one can lead you to the next. This method, you know, helped me read 15 books in 1 year. Initially, the goal seemed daunting, but not after I broke it down into reading just 8 pages per day. You can also help yourself by overcoming your emotions. Now, elite performers don't let their emotions dictate their work ethic or their ability to complete a task. They overcome negative emotions and they march toward their goal. It isn't realistic to wait for the right mood before you start working on something. Sometimes you have to put your head down and work through the negative emotions. If you find yourself feeling suboptimal, take a moment to acknowledge those feelings. Maybe you feel overwhelmed or uncertain. Define the feeling and then work through it. In most cases, your attitude will improve when you feel the satisfaction that comes from working through a feeling and then accomplishing the task. You also want to be thinking long term. Now, do you ever feel like you're running at full speed with everything, you know, hinging on your next task? Well, this can result in putting unnecessary pressure on what is immediately in front of you and cause you to lose sight of the big picture. To quote Bill Gates, who's the founder of Microsoft, he says, "Most people overestimate what they can do in 1 year and underestimate what they can do in 10. Elite entrepreneurs take a long-term perspective that reduces stress in the short term and allows them to stay focused on executing over a longer time span. If you do many small things right, over time you'll build something significant. The entirety of your success doesn't hinge on your next task, so avoid putting too much pressure on it and instead stay focused on your long-term vision. You want to build new routines. Our brains rely on habit loops or routines that dictate our actions. It's part of our DNA. You can't fight biology, but you can examine your habits. Without realizing it, we create routines that positively reinforce procrastination, like opening Facebook as soon as we sit down at our desk. Elite performers have the awareness and the self-discipline to replace the bad habits with good ones. You can do this yourself by understanding how habits work and then creating new routines. And finally, you have to put it all together. If procrastination were really the result of poor time management, we'd have solved it a long time ago. Unfortunately, the reasons we procrastinate are more complex. To optimize your chances for success, focus on one of these tips and incorporate it into your daily life. And over time, add more of the tips to it, and your procrastination will diminish and your output will increase, allowing you to make the most of the time you have. So great tips there on how to overcome procrastination. I love the part when they say break it down into small, manageable tasks. And I remember one time my son had a huge project due in the fifth grade. And when you looked at this, this was bigger than anything I'd ever written in college. And the teacher, I think, was just simply insane. And we're giving these, you know, 10-year-olds these huge assignments. And so I actually took it from him and I said, let me see what I can do with this. And I finally broke it down into like daily tasks from October to December. And I said, if you do this, you know, so you have to color in this and you have to draw this and you have to type this. If you do each of these tasks every day, then by the time this is due, with about a week to spare, you'll be done. And that's what he did. And everybody around us at the time, and this goes back probably 15 years, so the technology wasn't really as good as it is now. Neighbors were calling us, you know, can I print this on your computer? Mine just crashed. My hard drive crashed. This was a bear of a project. And luckily, they don't do it anymore. Eventually, my son, you know, long story short, gets an A on the project. It's one of the best that were ever submitted to this teacher. She actually wanted to keep it. We said no. And, you know, but breaking it down into manageable things, instead of coming home and thinking I have this huge project, he would come home and say, I have this 20-minute assignment to get done, and that will lead me to the conclusion of a big project. So take some advice from a 5-year-old. Break it down into small little tasks. Here's a topic that's been coming up. A lot of people have been talking to me and saying, you know, I didn't realize how, and we've talked about this on the program a few times, but how your business and personal expenses should be kept separate, because when they start to mix, all of a sudden it can affect your both your personal credit rating, your business credit rating, and it can really muddy the water for your accountant. So why should you keep your business and personal expenses separate? Now, using the company credit card for personal purchases might seem harmless, but it can cause big problems down the road. Ask just about any tax accountant or financial planner about the most common financial mistakes small business owners make, and they'll all say the same thing, mixing business and personal expenses. I work with a ton of small business owners that suffer from not drawing the line between business and personal expenses, said Josh Zimmelman, who's the president of Westwood Tax and Consulting in New York. I recommend separate checking, savings, and credit card accounts for business and personal use. Zimmelman and others recommend this approach for several reasons. First and foremost, if you incorporate it as a C-Corp or S-Corp or LLC, you're required to keep personal and business finances separate. Violating this rule could void your liability protection and put your personal assets at risk. Regardless of your corporate entity structure, commingling expenses also makes it difficult to gauge the financial health of your business. The balances aren't separate, so you can't identify your business profit, and you don't even know if you're actually making money, observed Christy Wright, who's a business coach and creator of the Business Boutique. And if that's not reason enough, Wright also points out that mixing expenses creates extra work come tax season. You have a nightmare on your hands when tax season rolls around and you try to sift through receipts and sort which Walmart or Office Depot trip was for business and which was for personal, she said. It's easier in the long run to keep everything separate, even if you aren't legally required to do so. While a sole proprietor is not required to maintain a separate business account, it helps separate the two different worlds, Zimmelman said. Get in the habit of carrying both cards with you, or plan ahead when you know you need to make a business purchase, and you won't run into any of those headaches. Currently it's 12:28. We're going to step away for our mid-show news break. When we come back, we've got more of Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
It's going to be a very humbling and moving day for the president-elect, his family, and for mine. But let me tell you, we are all
ready to go to work.
Vice President-elect Mike Pence meeting with reporters. He said the transition actually went better than expected.
We're wrapping up this transition on schedule and under budget. We will actually return some 20% of taxpayer funding back to the U.S. Treasury. And that is just exactly in keeping with the president-elect's expectations going forward.
Military officials say the U.S. is bombing suspected ISIS camps in Libya. The defense officials say two American B-2 stealth bombers carried out the attack last night. It's believed that the camps were destroyed. The strikes were authorized by President Obama. More news at USAradio.com.
Attention, this is a public notice from Citizens Disability. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right if you suffer from physical and mental disability. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, Citizens Disability can help. You'll be given an advocate who will evaluate your situation, handle your application, and deal with Social Security. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. We only get paid if you win your case. There are a number of conditions that could make you eligible for disability benefits, many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Citizens Disability today to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. That's 800-989-1396.
1396.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Currently 47 degrees in central New Jersey, and it's currently 12:31. And taking a quick look at the weather, it's currently, like I said, 47 degrees. Today it'll be mild with some sun throughout the day, a high of 52 and a low of 29. For tomorrow, though, you can expect rain and drizzle in the evening with a high of 46 and a low of 37. For Saturday, partly sunny and milder with a high of 54 and a low of 39. Sunday, it's going to be cloudy with some rain and drizzle, a high of 49 and a low of 37. Just got an update from USA Today saying that the weather tomorrow for Inauguration Day should be dreary with some rain and drizzle expected during the inauguration proceedings. I do definitely want to mention that our thoughts and prayers are with number 41, President George H.W. Bush, and Barbara Bush, who are both hospitalized with some breathing difficulties. So hopefully they will make a full and speedy recovery soon. He did write a letter to Donald Trump saying that he would not be able to attend the inauguration, saying that being out in cold temperatures outside would definitely lead him to be 6 feet under. Those are his words, not mine. But he did wish the president-elect well and said otherwise he would have attended. Something that's happening, and you hear more and more of it, both on a large scale and on a small scale, but when you hear stores like Kohl's and Yahoo and other large companies being hacked, you also have to wonder if the small guy can also be hacked. And it's actually quite simple for hackers to do. How many of you leave a web browser open when you leave the office at night? That's a huge no-no because that gives the hackers a backdoor into your computer. So cybersecurity is one of the things that all businesses need to take a look at. And here's 10 ways to protect your business from hacking. Now, hackers are increasingly targeting small businesses, making cybersecurity measures more important than ever. So we have a rundown on the basics. But according to Symantec's 2016 Internet Security Threat Report, cyber attacks are now a daily occurrence. In 2015, the security firm reported over 1 million web attacks against people per day. And out of that staggering number, 43% targeted small business. With larger companies beefing up their cybersecurity measures, small businesses have become attractive targets for hackers. Owners should be concerned. First Data estimates that the cost of a data breach for a small business merchant averages $36,000 to $50,000. Fortunately, common sense solutions and general awareness of cybercrime techniques can greatly reduce your business's vulnerability to cyber attacks. First, you want to install antivirus software. The best way to steer clear of viruses and malware are to use an industry-leading antivirus software solution, says Anurag Sharma, who's the principal of Withum Smith & Brown cybersecurity consulting practice. There are many types out there, and they don't have to break the bank, but having a level of defense can go a long way. If you already have good antivirus software, make sure the auto-update and firewall options are turned on. You also want to back up your files. Symantec reports that ransomware, a method of using encryption to hold critical data hostage for money, increased 35% in 2015. Updating your web applications can help prevent an attack, but it's important to regularly back up important files just in case. The easiest way to minimize the impact of a ransomware attack is to immediately disconnect the infected machines from the network, reinstall the operating system, and restore from your last good backup copy, Sharma says. You want to be wary of email and downloads. Email scams are becoming even more sophisticated. Spear phishing, for example, is an email that appears to be from an individual or business that you know, designed to trick you into revealing personal information. It's important for you and your employees to be wary of anything coming into your inbox. Never click a link or open an attachment that you did not expect to receive, Sharma said. If you're not expecting something or have to think twice about the contents, don't open it. You want to also install software and operating system updates. Pop-up reminders to update your web browser or operating system like Windows or OS may seem annoying, but don't ignore them. Ensure operating systems and applications are always fully patched with the latest security fixes, says Maury Haber, who's the VP of Technology at Beyond Trust. These updates will help protect you from cyber attacks. You want to use complex passwords. Weak passwords are an invitation for hackers. Don't make the mistake of using simple passwords or using the same password for multiple accounts. Small businesses should invest in complex password policies for all of their employees, says Ray McKenzie, who's the founder of Red Beach Advisors. These don't have to be too complex, but they should include a minimum of 10 characters, uppercase letters, lowercase letters, numbers, and a symbol. You also want to use secure systems to accept card payments. Never photocopy, handwrite, electronically key in to a terminal, or manually copy credit card information, Haber said. While this is a common practice for orders over the phone, consider a secure online payment system like PayPal to accept transactions. If your systems are compromised, keystroke loggers and other hacking tools can scrape the manually entered information for later attacks. In addition, make sure you've upgraded to the latest point-of-sale equipment for in-person purchases. You also don't want to bank over an unsecured Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi connections at coffee shops, airports, and other public places are convenient, but they aren't always secure. Never log into your online banking profile on an unsecured network. It's all too easy for someone to steal your information that way. If you're a road warrior and you're using public Wi-Fi, invest in a VPN service to secure your transmissions, recommends Douglas Boomker, the CEO of Macrotech Security Corporation. You also don't want to use free USB drives. Now, free USB drives may seem appealing, but they can cause big problems. If you don't trust the source of the USB drive, don't plug it in, Sharma said. These drives can very easily be used to carry and deliver a malware or virus into your computer, allowing someone else access to your important information. You want to secure your physical devices storing sensitive data. Don't forget that sensitive data can be physically stolen as well. Computers and drives with private business or customer information should be protected. Assume somebody will steal them and plan accordingly, said Greg Scott, who's the author of Bullseye Breach, an educational IT security book. Remote wiping is also a good thing for phones and tablets, so no leaving your computer in the front seat of your car. And finally, you want to train your employees. When it comes to good cybersecurity, your actions are more important than any technology. If you have employees, hold regular training and make sure they're aware of company IT policies and how to avoid email scams and other types of cyber attacks. Lastly, if you handle extremely sensitive information, such as medical or legal files, consider expert help. Hiring a managed service provider with the expertise to advise and correct these security problems will potentially prevent a breach and augment your staff with the latest best practices to combat modern cybersecurity issues. So there's a couple of tips on why it's so important for you to protect your business from hacking. And don't think for a second that just because you're a one-man band, you only have two or three employees, that people won't want your information. Financial information, your customers' financial information, wherever they can get it. And very rarely will prosecution result. But in the meantime, you can really do some damage to both your credit and your customers' credit. So make sure that you are tracking that information and protecting it as best as you can. All right. Currently it's 12:39, and we talk a lot about growing our businesses and how can we grow our business. What's the best way to do it? Am I in the right market? Do I need to diversify my product line? And there's some growth strategies that can actually stall your success. Now, there comes a time in the evolution of every business when selling more isn't enough. And here's what you need to know. Each successful new business starts out with one clear objective: find a profitable, sustainable market, and then mine it. And for those that excel, the rapid growth of market share and momentum that follow are nothing short of exhilarating. But this trajectory can only be sustained for so long. Why? Well, because as new products, locations, and people are added, the complexity within the business builds. Soon, balls are being dropped with alarming regularity, and profitability starts to slip. The natural inclination is to try to sell more to make up the difference. But this only ends up compounding the complexity and draining profitability even more. So what's an organization to do? The answer is to put systems and processes in place that will enable it to scale. In other words, the business must learn how to do grown-up things, from hiring and firing professionally to making high-quality team-based decisions and working cross-functionally. Now, it sounds obvious, and it's relatively straightforward, right? And yet, many businesses never make the transition from being small and growth-oriented to becoming larger and able to scale. So here are the three main reasons that owner-managed businesses become stuck in a state of perpetual adolescence and never quite reach maturity. The first is they become addicted to selling. There's something beguilingly addictive about selling, and many founders and business owners find it close to impossible to relinquish that dopamine rush that comes from making a sale. As a consequence, two things happen. The founder and owners try to overcome the white water of growing complexity by doing the very thing that will make the situation worse, generating more sales. And secondly, they balk at making the time available to engage in actually managing the business. Number two, having the inability to say no. Now, every early stage growth, growing by selling, is all about saying yes. Yes, we can deliver that product to you by next Wednesday. Yes, we can translate the user guide into Chinese for you. Yes, we can paint the widgets green if you'd like. It's this flexibility and can-do approach that enables us to grab market share early on. By performing superhuman feats of customer responsiveness, we grab business that should rightly go to competitors, 10, 20, even 50 times our size. It's an exhilarating period, and one during which the myths and legends of business are born. Problem is scaling. Building the infrastructure of the business so that it can grow to whatever size your industry will allow requires the frequent, disciplined use of the word no. For the first time, the business is faced with a solution that simply because it can do the thing doesn't mean it should. Strategic scaling means taking a disciplined approach to the growth. For example, saying no if that Chinese translation is merely a distraction from your strategic goals, something that is hard to do when you're hardwired to say yes. And finally, there's the fear of failure. Now, managing a mature business, one that has the systems and processes to overcome complexity and the discipline to adhere to them, is entirely different from managing a smaller, growth-oriented business. Many business owners sense this as they begin to grapple with the consequences of success and instinctively shy away from a challenge they feel may be beyond their capability. And who can blame them? There's absolutely nothing wrong with sticking to what you're good at and protecting an already successful business by capping growth. Better to stay small, happy, and successful than strive for scale only to be miserable. The key is to make a conscious choice and then lead your team accordingly. So there's a couple tips there on when growth can actually be a bad thing. Got some great advice from somebody once when I started my business, and a couple years into it, he came out to see me, and we were talking about areas we wanted to expand into. We wanted to get into the sign business, we wanted to get into the apparel business, and he goes, "It's all well and good, just don't grow too fast." And sure enough, 6-7 months later, we're at the top of the world. We're selling like crazy. We're closing deals, and all of a sudden we realize, whoops, short on cash flow, don't have enough people here to make this material, so now the bosses have to, you know, jump in and do everything. And it just, for a short period of time, his words rang true that growing the business too fast was actually a bad thing. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We're going to step away for a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how to create the perfect post on Facebook. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits. Law offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join us on this moving day here at the Chamber as the moving vans have all pulled up and they're starting to move some of the office furniture away and into the large house, which is located just down the block on Main Street. But our new headquarters for the Chamber of Commerce will now be in the large house. It's the big yellow house up on Main Street. Doesn't look like much on the outside. The inside has been transformed. It's beautiful. And in the springtime, they'll start working on some fresh paint and then building the Unity Bank Business Center for small business. So hopefully all of this can happen relatively quickly. And by the end of the year, complete the whole project. So before the break, I mentioned the teaser, how to create the perfect post on Facebook. And really, Facebook is one of the best methods of advertising your business and one of the least used methods of advertising your business. Now, you know you should be posting on Facebook at least once a week, but preferably more. Anything, a picture, an article, something that's happening in your business, something that's happening in your industry. The social media giant is a great platform for connecting with customers of all stripes. But as you stare at the site's ever-present prompt, you blank out. What's on your mind? Tough question. So to get your mental juices flowing, I've created this template to encourage you to create at least one post per day. Take these five easy elements and assemble them into your own successful Facebook post. First, short and sweet. A whopping 40 characters is the ideal length for a Facebook post, according to TrackMaven. That doesn't give you much room to make your point. Brevity is the soul of wit, as they say. If you have a lot to say, preview it on Facebook and then link it to a blog post, video, or landing page on your website. We are not advocating clickbait here. Sensationalized teases are bound to disappoint your followers, but if you can pull out an interesting quote or intriguing number that makes readers wonder what's going on, they are more likely to click through to your business's website to find out more. You also want to be able to create a clickable call to action. Your readers aren't going to interact with a post that seems one-sided. The best part of the social media community is that it's made for a two-way conversation. So start a dialogue or a prompt and action with a great call to action. Tell readers how you would like them to interact with you. So here are some examples of successful phrases that can get you started with regards to call to action. Try it for free. Get started now. Order yours today. Learn more. Sign up here. Start now. Get it today only. Get your free and then make an offer. Subscribe now. See how it works. Experience it for yourself. While supplies last, and claim yours. Again, great call to action terms to be using in a Facebook post. Third, you want to play tag. You're it. Facebook allows you to tag others in your post. Are you bragging about your before and after look of a client's office makeover? Tag them in it and share the limelight. It's best to get permission first, but this is a great way to give a shout out to your clients and show others what you can do. Very often, your clients will share it with their clients and expand the base of people who start to learn about you. You want to track your success with links. And tied closely to your call of action is adding a link. Just adding a link to the homepage of your website is not only a cop-out, but it won't really create any desired action. Be sure to link directly to the blog post or product page that you are referencing in your post. You should even consider creating landing pages for certain campaigns. But none of this is any good if you aren't tracking. Facebook does a great job of tracking how many clicks and engagements your post is getting, but you need to know what customers do when they get to your website. Are your links too long? You can check out a company called Bitly and Hootsuite and other similar web tools who do a superior job of tracking clicks and also can shorten your links. Facebook has a link preview feature in which your audience can see what they are clicking through to see. This can be very helpful if you have a highly visual website and the images on your webpage get pulled into Facebook correctly. If not, then you have to get visual. Our fifth tip. Genuine photos from your business are best, but not always practical. Even if you take a stock photo, dress it up with your branding, add a quote that teases what your audience can expect if they click on your link, this can be created for free with a template from a company called Canva or similar site. According to a 2014 eMarketer study, photos garner an 87% interaction rate from fans. With numbers like that, images certainly need to be a part of your post. So, an attention-grabbing headline, from socks to rocks, a call to action, see the before and after photo, tag another Facebook user, links and brief links, and then a photo that's eye-catching and branded could certainly help you in getting more traffic to Facebook and then ultimately redirects to your website. We talked about procrastination earlier in the show, and there are three time management tricks for small business owners that can possibly help you overcoming or to get more time out of your day so you don't have to procrastinate. Now, you want to enhance your productivity and get more done, and you can do so by implementing these organization strategies. Everybody has a hectic schedule, and it may seem inevitable for small business owners, but with some careful planning and deliberate actions, it doesn't have to be your reality. Don't underestimate the importance of taking the time to plan, especially when your week becomes chaotic and it seems most difficult to carve out the time to do so. That just means planning is more essential than ever. First, let's tame your email inbox. Dr. Linda Henman, who's the author and strategy and planning expert, suggests starting by culling email to improve productivity. Don't allow anyone to CC you in an email, she said. If it's important enough for you to read, it's important enough for you to receive it as a separate notice. You also want to stay focused. Creating daily priorities is crucial to help streamline your week and rein in the chaos. This prevents overscheduling and inconsequential things showing up on your calendar. And finally, delegate. Henman suggested small business owners delegate as much as possible. This is especially difficult for folks who have a vision that they're not confident others can carry out. But delegating will free you up to focus on the big picture. Both tasks and decisions should be delegated to the lowest possible rung on your ladder, along with the authority to carry out that decision. Another great tip that I got from Tillman Fertitta, who's the star of the show Billion Dollar Buyer on CNBC, was he will not check email. He'll check it once in the morning, and then he turns it off. He'll come back around lunch and for about an hour, and then he turns it off, minimizes the page, whatever, but he's not sitting there waiting for the next message, and he gets hundreds a day, if not thousands. So you want to turn off the email, because just like with Facebook and who said what and when they say it and stuff like that, it can become a distraction, because you just get pulled in and sucked into that abyss of never-ending emails. And trust me, when a person emails you at 10 in the morning, they can wait till 1 or 2 in the afternoon for an answer, unless it says need an answer right away, but most often they don't. We talked earlier about keeping your personal and business financial expenditures separate. Now, I want to talk about for a few minutes on why keeping organized financial records can pay off. Now, did you know that maintaining accurate accounting records can help your small business's cash flow? Cash flow is the lifeblood of a small business. What would you do without money in the bank when you need it? No one wants to be in a tight spot like that. There's lots of advice out there on managing and improving cash flow, but the best thing you can do is to stay organized. Keeping accurate records is integral to managing and growing your business, said Thomas Walsh, who's a certified financial planner with Palisades Hudson Financial Group's Atlanta office. Proper accounting can be tedious work, but it provides insight into the health and viability of your business. You want complete and accurate records. That means that you're prepared when you need extra funds to grow or reinvest in your company. Businesses that have accurate and detailed records will find it easier to borrow funds and raise capital from investors, Walsh said. Acquiring a small business loan or line of credit can help small business owners effectively manage cash flow. But that's not the only benefit that you'll reap. You'll be especially grateful for your meticulous record keeping come tax time. All company records, state filings, and tax filings must be properly maintained to ensure available income tax deductions and credits are fully utilized, leaving more cash flow to remain with your company. So hopefully that sets the record straight on why it's important to keep good financial records in your business. And it's very easy to grab a receipt, throw it out, and the next thing you know, that's the one that you need for your accountant. So make sure that you're keeping all your records separate and complete. Well, let's talk about emails for a minute and how to write email copy that converts. There's four tips that are going to help you with email messages turn potential customers into a qualified sales lead. Now, while monitoring email opens and clicks is important, if the result isn't generating next step actions from your contacts, such as consultation requests, calls, online transactions, or offline purchases, is this data really telling the whole story? As a small business owner, you want to ensure that your email opens and clicks are instigating true conversions and resulting in a return on your email marketing investment. So here are four tips to help you set up and create email copy that will turn into a conversion. Number one, define the buyer's journey. Your buyer's journey enables you to create email copy that pushes your contacts from one step to the next and helps you set goals for your email marketing and allows you to identify any bottlenecks in the process. Your buyer's journey may include steps such as subscribing to your blog, downloading content giveaways, requesting pricing, scheduling a consultation, or watching a demo. You have to monitor your conversions. Whether you utilize an automated system or manually document results with an Excel spreadsheet, you need to monitor the performance of your email campaign. If you don't track your conversions, you will never know what is working. Did the person who clicked on your email call to action schedule a consultation, or is the individual who called your office the same contact who opened the promotional email that you sent? You want to segment and target. Segmentation is a critical step that is often overlooked. The true secret to email copy that converts is sending messages that resonate. Depending on the individual's challenges and where they are at in the buyer's journey, the next step you want them to take may vary. Your new subscriber may be ready for an ebook download, while a more seasoned contact who has already downloaded an ebook and pricing may be ready for a consultation. Number four, keep focused and powerful with powerful calls to action. Each email designed to convert your contacts into sales qualified leads should have one call to action. Avoid the confusion or lack of decision caused by multiple calls to action. Only include the most appropriate next step based on the buyer's journey that you've defined and the individual's primary pain point. To increase the likelihood of conversions, include a verb like download, read, scheduled, or watch in your next call to action. And once you've nailed these four steps, you'll create email copy that is clear, powerful, and adept at converting your subscribers into sales qualified leads. So some great advice there, and hopefully if you're doing any mass email marketing, you'll take those to heart. In sports, in the NFL, the playoffs continue with the conference championships this weekend to determine who plays in Super Bowl 51. It will be the Green Bay Packers versus the Atlanta Falcons in the NFC Championship game on Sunday at 3:05. The AFC Championship game will be Sunday at 6:40, featuring the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New England Patriots. In other NFL news, the San Diego Chargers have announced they will be moving to Los Angeles after more than 50 years in the San Diego area. And today, the Oakland Raiders filed papers to move to Las Vegas. In NCAA men's basketball, the top 10 looks like this. Villanova is back in the number one spot after West Virginia beat Baylor. Kansas, UCLA, Gonzaga, and Kentucky round out the top five. Baylor, West Virginia, Creighton, North Carolina, and Florida State round out the top 10. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better, and your better is best." If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano.